This is Naomi Pressma. I am conducting an interview for the Jewish Community Center's Family History Project. The present date is January the 10th, 1991, and I would like to present Alexander Erlin, who has consented to share his recollections with us tonight. Mr. Erlin, would you please give us your name, address, and if you wish, your phone number and your age?
My name is Alexander W. Erlin. I live at 4000 St. Ives Court, Louisville, Kentucky, 40207. My phone number is 896-1136. I was 84 years old on November 1st, 1990.
Thank you, Al. Were you born in Louisville?
I was born in Columbus, Ohio, on November 1st, 1906.
What brought you to our fair city and when?
I came to Louisville in August 1938 to accept the position as Executive Director of the Jewish Social Service Agency, now known as the Jewish Family and Vocational Service.
When you came here, what was the residential pattern of the Jews at that time?
Jewish people who were fairly well off live on 3rd Street, 2nd Street, from about Oak Street to the University of Louisville. Quite a few lived in Auerbacher Court off of Brook Street. Some lived on Floyd. A great many Jewish people who were not as well off financially lived on Madison, Gray, between Brook and Preston. Some lived on Preston Street. A few lived east of Preston Street in that area. There was a sizable group who had already moved to the Highlands, which was considered to be far out at that time in terms of geography.
When did the mass exodus of the Jews to the suburbs occur?
I should have mentioned there was still a small Jewish community in the near west side. The mass exodus to the suburbs, as we now know it, began sometime in the late 50s and early 60s, and has continued since that time.
Did that have an impact on the Jewish community?
I'm not quite clear what you mean by impact, but it definitely changed the socialization of the Jewish community because it meant that people didn't live as close to each other as they did formerly. We also had a great more social activity between Jews and non-Jews, because there were very few what you would call Jewish neighborhoods as there were when I first came.
Was it hard or rather difficult for you and your family to become socially integrated in the city? I know that you came as a professional, which gave you some communication, but what happened socially and who were some of the people that helped in this area? And did you have children?
I had two children, a girl who was born the year after I came to Louisville. My wife was already pregnant when we moved here from Cleveland, Ohio, where I formerly worked for the Jewish Social Service Bureau. I had another child, a son, born in 1946. In Louisville. Both of my children were born here in the old Jewish hospital. A doctor who was very well known at that time and delivered a great many of the Jewish babies, Dr. Starr and Dr. Solomon.
How did you get involved in the social community?
Because of my position, I became acquainted with a great many people who served on members of my board. They were very nice to me socially, invited me to their home, invited my wife and I to their homes. And it didn't take us long to feel that we had developed a great many friends. Among them, people I would like to mention would be Herman Handmaker, Lewis Cole, Marshall Benzinger, Max Waldman, and many, many others, too many to mention. We felt a very warm reception, I must say that, and one of the reasons we remained in Louisville rather than moving to other communities, as many social workers have done, was because we felt that we had established roots and didn't want to move again.
Well, we were lucky that you felt that warmth. What I was really getting at, were there any interesting patterns that had developed in Louisville related to the social areas? You did have some communication with people because of your professional opinion, but did you notice any other patterns that you could talk about?
Well, there was some segregation in the community depending on geographical location at that time. I find that practically all of that has disappeared. People who lived in the West End didn't have too much socialization, but I'm thinking particularly of younger people, with people who lived in the Highlands. People who lived in the South End, not too far south, this side of the University of Louisville towards Broadway, seemed to be a group unto themselves too. So we found the social patterns having something to do with the geography of where the people live. Also it had to do with the congregational affiliation of the people. The community was fairly well divided between the Orthodox and the Reform, with a rather sizable group of conservative Jews who I think at this point probably would be as large a group in the community as there is. It was not true when I first came to Louisville. The young people who came to the YMHA, as a matter of fact, the YMHA served pretty much as a melting ground for the Jewish community. There were very few non-Jewish members, perhaps less than five to my recollection at the time when I first came. The only place in the community where the total community came together was at the YMHA. Otherwise, the congregational activities were pretty much separated from each other, even as they are now. Adath Israel was a Reform congregation, and the rabbi was Rabbi Joseph Rau. Later accepted an assistant by the name of Dr. Herbert Waller, who came in the between 1945 and 1950, and who later became the rabbi of the congregation. The conservative congregation, Adath Yeshurun, at that time was on the corner of Brook and Jacob, Brook and College. And the rabbi was Rabbi Gilliman, who'd been there for many years and served for many years after that. He later accepted an assistant by the name of Simcha Kling, who became rabbi of the congregation. The three Orthodox congregations at that time was one on the corner of 11th and Jefferson, which did not have a rabbi except for a short period of time. I don't remember his name. Services were conducted by the congregation itself. And it was not a very large congregation. The largest Orthodox congregation was Knesset Israel, which was located on Jacob and Floyd and Jacob. They've had a number of rabbis, and I believe the rabbi when I first came was Rabbi Brilliant, but I'm not certain of that. The other second largest Orthodox congregation was in Chisford, which was located on First Street near Walnut. Rabbi when I came was Rabbi Chevelle, later succeeded by Rabbi Rudman, who served for many years. The second Reform congregation was Brish Sholem, which was located on the corner of 2nd and College. The rabbi when I came was Rabbi Solomon Mazel, who went into service during the war years, came back for a year, and then was succeeded by, I believe, Rabbi Martin Perley, who served for a long time. There was an interim rabbi during the war years whose name I do not remember, but he was a pretty good golfer. When I came to Louisville, there was a Democratic mayor who had just succeeded a very popular Republican mayor by the name of Harrison. The Democrats pretty much dominated the political scene during most of the time that I've lived in Louisville. I do recall that either in the late 40s or the early 50s, I'm not sure of the timing on this, a prominent Jewish man by the name of Sidney Rosenblum was asked to run for mayor on the Republican ticket. He was very popular, probably could have been elected, but he was afraid that the fact that he was Jewish would not enable him to be elected, so he did not run. Sometime in that same time period, Dan Bick, another prominent Jew, served as the president of the Board of Aldermen. There was a great deal of social and political furor around the civil rights movement, which began in the early 50s, perhaps even in the late 40s. I'm not sure of the timing on that, which preceded the Brown decision in 1954, which called for desegregated schools. There was a Kentucky law called the Day Law, which forbade the schooling of black and white children together. It was mandated that they have separate schools, and that's what did exist here in the school system. There were a number of good black schools, but they were only for black children. There were a number of good white schools. They were only for white children. The residential pattern was segregated, was partly because of the schooling and partly because of the fact that people in certain areas would not sell to black people. There was a certain discrimination against Jews in terms of real estate. As a matter of fact, there was no law prohibiting the use of restrictive covenants, which were fairly widely used, particularly in the east end of Louisville, which was later struck down by the Supreme Court. The political situation remained fairly constant in terms of control by the Democrats, as I mentioned earlier. During the early 1950s, there was a good deal of excitement about the integration of black and white community, efforts to sell real estate to blacks caused some difficulty in the community. Matter of fact, a great deal of difficulty in the general community. Jews participated in this to a large extent on the side of the breakdown of the barriers between the whites and the blacks. Prominent among these people was Arthur Kling, who helped establish the Kentucky American Civil Liberties Union chapter sometime in the 50s.
Did you notice a lot of anti-Semitism?
There was little overt anti-Semitism, but there was a great deal of social discrimination. Jews were not acceptable in some, not too many to this date, Louisville Country Club, Pendennis Club, River Valley Club, Wednesday Club. would not accept Jewish members, or did not accept Jewish members. I don't know if there are very many in those organizations today. I believe that the Penn Dentist may have one or two Jewish members, but I'm not certain. I believe the others still do not have Jewish members.
If I recall, Al, it seems to me that you did a great deal of work in the schools regarding this matter. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I was active with the Civil Liberties Union because of my interest in the development of opportunities for all people, regardless of religion or race. When I was secretary of the YMHA during the war years, we had a young group worker by the name of Robert Weiner who came here from Cleveland, Ohio, and stayed here for a few years. He made a great many efforts to bring some activity between the Jewish youth and the black youth in the community, and was able to develop a forum which involved some of the prominent local speakers. We made an effort at that time to secure Male High School as a place where the forum could be held. And because of the day law, which I previously mentioned, the Board of Education refused to do this. We enlisted the aid of Barry Bingham and the Courier Journal, who was very helpful in bringing pressure to bear on the school board to permit these interracial activities after school hours at Male High School at that time. We also had a number of black basketball teams come and play games against our young people. Even though some of our board members objected at the time, the majority were very much in favor of this activity. We had an interfaith, an interreligious, interracial activity between social activity between black and white adolescents, and we wanted to hold this in one of the public parks, which was forbidden at that time. Parks were segregated. There were parks for the white people, and there were one park, Chickasaw Park, for the black people. We were able to get the permission of the Board of Aldermen after a great deal of debate. This took place sometime in the early 40s, to hold such a picnic of black and white youth, probably the first time this had ever been done in Louisville, and was not done for quite a few years after that. And an interesting sidelight on the general attitude in the community about the political situation in the world was that I recall when I was secretary of the YMHA, a very, very strong and even bitter debate about the admission of Arthur Kling to the board of directors of the YMHA. He had been elected or nominated before his election, and he had run for socialist mayor of the community in the early 1930s. In those days, people equated socialism with communism. And there was a great deal of negative feeling about communists in this country. That was a very interesting experience that I had. In the end, the more liberal people on the board prevailed, and Arthur Kling was elected to the board and became, of course, a very effective, and later went on to become president of the board, in addition to many other community activities that he did in terms of bettering the life of people who were not as well off as some.
We were indeed lucky. Arthur was one of our great statesmen. Al, since you were here after World War II and took part in working with the great wave of German immigrants who arrived, can you talk about that, please?
The Jewish Social Service Agency was the organization in the community that had been designated to accept, work, resettle, the people who came out of the concentration camps. We resettled several hundred of people who had been fortunate enough to survive the concentration camps. In a few years, of being in transit camps, either in Germany or in Italy. When they came to this country, the majority did not speak English, so we had to develop programs to help them do that. The vast majority remained in Louisville, but a substantial number moved to other communities to seek better employment opportunities or to reunite with relatives or friends whom they finally located after they'd been in this country for a number of years. There's still quite a few of the children of those people in this community who are providing substantial leadership in some areas and who were born in this country after we had a number of marriages and so on. But a number of the people came who had married after they had been released from the concentration camps and met each other in the transit camps.
Those experiences are reminiscent of the great wave of Russian immigrants we're having today. Talk about the differences, because it is quite different.
The same agency, the Jewish Social Service Agency, now the Jewish Family Vocational Service, is responsible, bears the main responsibility for helping resettle the Russian immigrants who began coming in the 70s. I was also involved in the early ones who came here in helping them to resettle. The major difference was that the Russian people who come here brought many skills that were useful in this country. They were not fleeing the kind of terror, although they were fleeing some oppression and some suppression of personal liberties, and came to this country in much better condition and better prepared to make a quick adjustment to the society. The people who came out of the concentration camps had been through several years of tremendous torture, pain, agony, despair, loss of people close to them, maybe the only survivors of large families, and it was a totally different problem in helping them to resettle, although it was amazing how quickly many of them made good adjustments. And we can be proud of the fact that this community did its full share in not only accepting, but helping these people to feel that they were accepted into the community. The congregations, the YMHA, now the Jewish Community Center, the Federation, formerly Conference of Jewish Organizations, all played vital roles in helping in this program. I should mention that there were a large group of immigrants who came to this country in the middle to late 30s who had been able to escape from Nazi Germany and get out before the Holocaust reached its fullest extent. They were a sizable group in the community. As a matter of fact, for a number of years they had a German club at the old YMHA, which helped them to socialize among themselves. They were quickly assimilated into the general community, and of course most of those people are not alive, but their children are here and are active participants in the affairs of the community, both politically, socially, and economically.
You've just spoken about the Jews that came before the war and those who came after the war, and it seems to me that through the years, different waves of immigrants have happened. Correct me if I'm wrong, sort of in bunches. For instance, the Poles came over at one time. Can you talk a little bit about how we accepted those people?
There was a large immigration of Polish people who came after the 67 war in Israel, when Poland attempted to expel the Jews who had returned there to live. They are living in this community now, made an excellent adjustment. Their children are accepted into all social activities, are active in the community. Many of them are economically successful, and they made a very quick adjustment. I found that the people who lived in Louisville for each of these waves of immigration were very warm and very accepting and developed many programs socially, religiously. Our religious institutions had a great deal to do with, as they are now doing with the Russians. and were very helpful in helping these people make a quick immigration into the general activities of the community.
Now, your professional position allowed you to work with so many of the Jewish families in Louisville. Can you talk a little bit about how our society has changed in regard to the family unit?
When I came to Louisville, the extended family was an accepted fact. Relatives would meet fairly regularly together. On holiday occasions, family units would get together. Some of that still exists, but a great deal of that has disappeared as we found less and less identification by many Jews with the total Jewish community. As I mentioned earlier, there's a great deal more social activity and social interchange between Jews and non-Jews in the areas, particularly in the eastern part of the community, where neighborhoods are not primarily Jewish as they were when I first came to Louisville.
How about the children, the transportation? What I mean by that, how the children get around, riding, all the things that involve children.
Today, most people transport their own children. The buses for the school systems did not exist, of course, when I came here. Children had to find their own way to school. The majority of the children went to school in neighborhoods where they could walk, except when they got to the high school level. That is not true anymore. Many Jewish people are now using private schools, something which did not exist when I came to Louisville. All the Jewish children that I can recall went to public schools. I believe the attitude towards the public school system was that it was a pretty good one. That attitude still prevails among a great many people, even though the people who of means are very apt to select private schools, feeling that their children might get a better education. I'm not sure they're right.
Al, you've talked about the children in the family unit. How about the elderly? How did families deal with their parents and grandparents through the years?
When I came to Louisville, the general pattern was that if an aged person did not manage by themselves, they moved in with one of the children. There were a number of reasons for this. I think families felt closer knit, felt the responsibility. The social patterns were different. The opportunities in the community for any type of care outside of the home were negligible, and those that did exist were very poor, and nobody wanted to put any of their members of their family in those kind of places. As a matter of fact, early on when I came to Louisville, this seemed to be one of the very striking needs that the community had, some place where Jewish people who were old and in need of special types of care, which really couldn't be provided in the home, was not available. The few nursing homes were old homes that were badly run, poorly supervised, and people were very reluctant and did not use them. This led to a development of a group of people in the early 40s, who primarily led by Mrs. Barnett Linker and Mrs. Shapiro, of the Shapiro family. I don't remember her first name. Were very active leaders in this group. Later on, Herman Handbaker became a leader in the group. They organized to the point where they appeared before the Conference of Jewish Organizations, which is the forerunner of the Jewish Community Federation, and asked them to help develop an institution of some type where people could receive this type of care. The Conference of Jewish Organizations felt that it was not in a position to develop such an institution, and as a result, the Jewish Social Service Agency, whose president at that time was Herman Handmaker, issued a call to the community for a mass meeting at the YMHA, which was held sometime in 1945. At this mass meeting, it was decided to form an organization called the Louisville Hebrew Home, and the Carl Hellman was elected as its president. This later became the organization which developed Four Courts, which was, I believe, opened in 1949 after a very successful community drive for funds, spearheaded by Carl Hellman, Herman Handmaker, and many others. The organization today is being operated by the Jewish Hospital and is a very modern, excellently run institution for the care of older people who cannot live at home or live by themselves. The pattern in terms of family responsibility really hasn't changed that much in terms of the feelings of the family, but the way it is carried out is totally different. As I mentioned earlier, when I came in the late 30s, early 40s, into the 50s, it was accepted that if there was a problem of health or need for care for older people in the family, they went to live with a member of the family. That is very much in the minority today insofar as the procedures, and probably for the betterment of the family. It created many tensions in the families, which led to difficulties between other members of the family, between the children and the grandchildren, which we felt was not very helpful to anybody, including the older person. But the responsibility and the feeling of responsibility was such at the time that people did this regardless. Today, the feeling of responsibility may remain the same, but the facilities that are available and the use of them is totally different.
Al, would you say that our Jewish community is a wealthier community now?
That's a difficult question to answer. I think you ought to ask some auditors and insurance people that question. I have a feeling, and I don't know this for a fact, that the middle class is better off today in the Jewish community than it was merely in terms of the lifestyle. I really have no idea whether they have the resources to provide that lifestyle, but I have to look at the way they're living. And I would say that we have less people in the so-called poverty level, more people in the middle class level, and more people in the wealthy level. That's an opinion. I don't know if that's factual or not.
Well, it's my opinion that we've always had our Jewish poverty. But in the olden days, as the kids say, your agency, Jewish Social Service Agency, played a big part in taking care of these people. Do you think that still exists?
When I came to Louisville, the primary function of the Jewish Social Service Agency was to work with people who were in financial difficulty. Along with this, of course, we work with social problems, emotional problems, but the previous organization did not employ people who had the skills to really work with people who were troubled emotionally and mentally. As we developed the program for service, which was above that of just the people who did not have enough money to live on, there became more acceptance of the fact that the social agencies such as the Jewish Family Vocational Service today has a very important service to offer to people who have family problems, who have problems of adjustment to life, unrelated to money. And they're providing a very extensive service in that area now. In addition, in the early 1940s, something I probably should have mentioned earlier, a committee an ad hoc committee of people who were interested in providing better vocational opportunities for Jewish young people, came together on a voluntary basis. The leader of this group was Moses Masters, Arthur Kling, Joe Kaplan. They met a number of times and prepared a program which they presented to the Conference of Jewish Organizations for the establishment of a Jewish vocational service in Louisville. The conference did accept that responsibility, and sometime in the early 40s, the organization was established. At that time, the brought a professional executive director for the organization who had experience in this field, whose name I'm having difficulty with right now, but I'll think of it in a minute, who worked a few years and was later succeeded by David Dobson, who built the organization into a rather substantial one and provided a tremendous service in determining school opportunities, of helping test people about their abilities, of counseling them about what their career goals might be. And today that is carried on through the merger of the Jewish Social Service Agency and the Jewish Vocational Service into the present Jewish Family and Vocational Service.
Now, several times you've alluded to the fact that you were the executive director of the Jewish Community Center. When did that happen, and why did it happen, and did you also run the Jewish Social Service Agency?
I believe it was in 1942 that Lawrence Cook was drafted into service. At that time, he was the executive director of the YMHA, the forerunner of the Jewish Community Center. And I was asked if I would take the job on temporarily until a return from his service in the war. I agreed to do this, and I continued to serve as executive of the Jewish Social Service Agency. And all I did was put in some 12 to 14 hour days, but I had a good time doing it. It lasted about 4 years. During that time, we had a number of interesting activities, one of which I mentioned earlier about the interracial programs that we did there. We also reestablished something that existed in the community earlier but had ceased to exist, and that was the Jewish Public Forum, which was community-wide in its nature. We brought outstanding speakers. We met at Adith Israel. We had substantial audiences of 300, 400, or 500 people from the general community as well as from the Jewish community. It was an interesting experience for me. When I left the YMHA on a part-time basis, the Conference of Jewish Organizations asked me to serve as community coordinator along with my job at the Jewish Social Service Agency, and I served in that capacity for a good many years.
Why don't you just ask me what influenced me to take a job?
Now we've come a long way, but I want to know once again, what influenced you to take this job in Louisville and leaving Cleveland, a big city with so many opportunities?
A number of factors, of course, influenced me coming here. The first and major was the job opportunity that was presented to me, but also the people who interviewed me for the job. I might mention Victor Berger, who was president of the organization at that time, Herman Handmaker, Max Wallman, among others, were very, very warm, cordial, gave me the opportunity of the kind of job that, to do the kind of job that I felt that I could do here. But one of the things that really influenced my thinking, if I might have been on the edge, and I'm not sure that I wasn't on the edge at that time, was I came here in May for the interview, early May, just before Derby time, and they drove me through the parks, and everything was so beautiful. I remember the dogwoods, and we were in full bloom, as were the red buds, and I said to myself, a city that has parks like this must be a pretty good place to live in. And that really was a strong motivating factor, even though it was not the dominant one, of course.
That is such a beautiful thing to hear. I feel the same way. Now we've moved along quite a bit. One last question. Can you tell us anything about your favorite memories or what stands out in your mind about Louisville and also if we've left anything out that you think is pertinent.
My favorite memories really have to do with people. I think of the great people who gave of their time and their effort and their concern and their skills to help develop the Jewish community into the fine community it is today. And I begin by thinking of Charlie Morris, of Charles Strell, of Lewis W. Cole, the President Lewis Cole's father, of Herman Handmaker, of Max Wallman, of Marshall Benzinger, these were people who had real social concern. Arthur Kling, his brother Morris Kling, Sidney Apple, who was the president of the YMHA during the years I served as executive, Sam Byerfield, Will Heidenberg, people with real leadership ability who helped develop the present institutions we have, who deserve a great deal of credit, should not be forgotten. Abe Berman, Fanny Rose, Rosenbaum, Helen Hellman, Betty Jane Fleischhager, women who played important roles in development of our social institutions. I'm sure I'm leaving out a lot of people that I would wish later that I had mentioned. Those are the ones that come to my mind at the moment.
And I would be remiss if I did not end this interview by also talking about what a great influence, positive influence, you had. These leaders all worked with you, were guided and directed by you, and we're happy you liked our parks and came to our city. Thank you, Al, for a most interesting account. We appreciate it very much.